I'm Pastor David. Glad to be with you through this week and looking forward to next week. This is Trust the Bible. Welcome to the program. The purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. This whole week, I've been talking about the topic of living biblically. It is a topic that's come up because a new TV show just started on Monday nights at 9:30 by that title, and it is something that is the purpose of this program. I want you to live biblically, not because it's the right thing to do and I want you to always do what's right. No, that's true, but the Bible has a bunch of promises about how blessed you will be, about how you will be prosperous and successful, about joy and peace that will be yours if you live the way God has designed you to live, if you live according to God's purpose for you, which is to live first and foremost for His glory. And the way that we live for His glory is spelled out with all the details, all the commands in the Bible. We want to follow those commands. If we're a follower of Jesus, then we want to do what Jesus said. Jesus said the mission for every Christian is to make disciples, teaching people to obey everything Jesus commanded, which is everything in the Bible. Jesus taught that we should follow everything in the Bible. Living biblically is a show that says, oh, that's impossible. No one can do that. And everyone picks and chooses what commands they follow. And so if you really try to follow the Bible literally, you're going to run into all kinds of funny situations. And I ended yesterday by saying, you know, this whole view of the Bible, I think, was already around, but really grew just in the last few years in the same-sex marriage debate. The idea is, listen, Christians, if you say we've got to follow what the Bible teaches on same-sex marriage, why don't you follow all the rules in the Bible? No, you pick which rules you want to follow, and so why do you pick that one to follow? And so the idea is everyone just picks and chooses what they want to follow in the Bible. No one can actually live biblically. And so whatever commands we don't want to follow as a culture, as a society, we can just throw out because no one actually follows all of it. Well, that's not true. The Bible tells us which commands we are to follow and which commands are for other people. The Bible tells us God called Abraham to leave the country he was living in, leave his family, and go to a land that he would show Abraham, the land of Israel. Now, all of us read that. None of us think, well, the Bible's telling me I need to move to Israel and leave, you know, everything behind. No, that's something God told Abraham. The same thing is true with so many of the commands in the Bible. The Bible will tell us, is this a command for all people? Is this a command for a particular person? Is this a command for a particular nation? So let me give you an example of this. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, this is right after the flood. Noah has gotten out of the boat, out of the ark, and God gives some commands for Noah to follow from this time forward. And he says, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. Well, who is he talking to? He's talking to Noah and his sons and their wives. He's talking to every human being living at the time. He's talking to them and their descendants. So he's talking to us. He says, but you must not eat meat that still has lifeblood in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. So this verse does everything it can to say God is making a covenant with Noah and all his descendants, which includes all people alive today, and that in covenant includes certain things, certain commands. If someone kills a man, there should be a death penalty consequence. That's for all nations, all people. We should not eat meat with the blood still in it, with the lifeblood in it. In other words, the blood should be drained when the animal is killed before eating it. That is a command. It's in Genesis 9 that God gives to all people for all time. And so I think that is a command to us that we must follow because the Bible identifies it as such. I'm not going to pick and choose and say, well, I don't have to follow that one, but I need to follow this other one. No, I need to follow that command. It's laid out in the Bible. What about other commands? Well, for instance, look at Exodus 31, verse 16. this verse talks about the Sabbath. And in fact, it specifically says, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. Now, I believe that we should go to church on Sunday. In fact, every Friday I encourage you, because it's part of God's plan. It's in God's teaching of how you're going to really know and understand and be able to put into practice the Bible in your life. And so church is important, but it's not important in order to keep the Sabbath. Sabbath keeping actually involves a whole list of rules and regulations that most people really don't worry about on Sunday. And I don't think that you need to. That long list of rules, for example, don't kindle a fire, which Jews today, many will not even turn a light on in their house because they don't want during the Sabbath, because they don't want to violate the Sabbath by kindling a fire in their dwelling place, as the Bible prohibits. Well, do Christians need to worry about not doing that on Sunday? No, because this is a command of the Israelites. Now, I think we can apply that by having a day of rest, by having a day where we focus on God, by having a day where we go to church, but we don't have to follow every regulation that has to do with Saturday like the Jewish people were commanded to do, unless you're Jewish. But these commands are for Israelites, not for the Gentiles. How about Leviticus? This is the most famous passage in the whole same-sex marriage debate. It says that do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. That's Leviticus 18, verse 22. Well, that's in Leviticus. Leviticus says all kinds of crazy things, like don't eat pork and don't wear clothing of mixed cloth. Cotton, polyester, shouldn't wear a shirt mixed together. We don't really pay attention to those rules. Why should we pay attention to this rule? Well, because the Bible tells us it's for all of us. The Bible tells us some of these other rules are for Israel. The Bible lays that out. It's in the context. But this rule, it goes on to say, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. In other words, God says, I'm punishing these other nations because they committed this same sin. This is for all nations. God specifically lays out in his word that this is not just for Israelites. So we've got to read with discernment. We've got to know the context. What is the Bible really talking about? Who is the Bible talking to? But yes, being a Christian means to live biblically, means to follow all of the Bible, not picking and choosing. And first and foremost, that means we start by beginning a relationship with God by receiving his gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Everything in living biblically is this idea that, well, I can just do all the Bible says and then, you know, somehow that will be following the Bible. But actually, you can't follow what the Bible says if you don't have a relationship with God. The first step is professing faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life so that you can have your sins forgiven, be given a new heart with new desires, so that you can follow his commands with the right reasons. If you don't do that first, then there's no point in trying to live living biblically in all the other areas of life. So that's got to be the first step. Then, yes, because you love God, you know that he's telling you what's good for you, you carefully study his word, apply it to your life, and follow everything that it teaches. The New Testament church wrestled with this question, what do Gentiles, what do people who are not Jewish have to do and not do that's in the Old Testament? And we have their decisions recorded in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 15, I'm not going to have time to get into it today, but they go into this and say, you know what? The Gentiles are not required to follow all of the Old Testament. Not because the Old Testament is done away with and obsolete. No, the Christians who were Jews in the book of Acts were following the instructions in the Old Testament, all of them. But they said, but a lot of these aren't for the Gentiles. So they told the Gentiles, here's what is in the Old Testament that you still need to follow. And it's some of the things I've outlined today. So I would encourage you, do live biblically, not the way that the show is portraying, but the way the Bible portrays it. If you have questions about this, comments, you want to get help living biblically yourself, I'd love to talk with you. The number to call is 943-8237. That's 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.